So, we're going on a trip to Ephesians. So, Father, we need ears to hear, eyes to see, and a spirit to perceive what your spirit is speaking to us. We're going to Ephesians chapter 4. And just before verse 1, it's the NIV says, unity in the body of Christ. Amen. Unity. There's a lot of perceptions out there about you can do this on your own and you can be a body of believers and never connect. Well, that's like saying to a doctor that does surgery on you, he doesn't have to put all the parts back. He can just put in whatever he wants, and you'll have to manage. Well, I'm very grateful that when they did surgery on me, they put all the parts back, because it could have been a little bit strange. Maybe they didn't, I don't know. Don't go there. Verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, hearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love, not hearing. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. If he is telling us that we need to survive when we have difficulties or differences of opinion, why is he stretching it and saying you got to do it in love? Because sometimes we have a habit of control and we like to do things our way. So we kind of treat the body like we treat our friends. But in reality, the body of Christ should be a place for love to rule. Verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, that's not always possible because we have temper tantrums. We have physical difficulties, emotional difficulties, etc., etc. But verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Notice it's not you that dictates how much you get. As the Lord apportioned it. When I was growing up, in my house, it was family style. The dinner was always family style. Okay? But when we went to my grandparents, which was my biological parents, it was not family style. They served your plate, and they expected you to consume everything. Well, at that time, I didn't usually have a problem, but sometimes some choices were made for me that created a little bit of pressure. Okay? And you got to remember, there were 21 children. The wives and husbands, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, all of that in one house. You got to remember, it was a hotel before they bought it. So it was big. The kitchen, I would say, was between the kitchen and the area where they did the preparing of the food. The pantry, it was all opened up, and it was just about from here to the back of the room. And that did not include the dining room, which was to the left. And I can remember my dad would cover for me. And the way that God works, you know, it's an apportioned amount that you're getting. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because you can be uncomfortable with what's been given to you. But it was designed for your well-being. And when Father gives out grace, he gives it to you according to what you need because he knows your weaknesses. Oh, I should have heard an amen on that one. Does he not know your weaknesses?
Amen.
So, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Well, if he gave gifts to men, do you think you're going to need those gifts when you get to heaven? No, you won't need them. So if you're expecting to get to heaven on your gifts, and you have a heart filled with all kinds of attitude, you're going to have a problem.
That's right.
The purpose of the whole body of Christ experience is to have you overcome where there is weaknesses, and to pray for each other until you all make it to the harmony that God is planning. So if you've got somebody in the body of Christ that's in irritation, and I know that it can't be me. Yeah. Pray for them. And that including me. It's a good thing I love her.
And I love you too.
But all teasing aside, the purpose for the pressure is to get you out of yourself. You see, he's moving us to a higher realm. He wants us to be focused on the well-being of all of those that are in the body, including the ones that are your irritation. And that includes me. So all teasing aside, yes, I can be the major part of your irritation, but it's because I'm prodding you, and like I'm prodding myself. You see, I was listening to Larry this morning, Larry Randolph, and he pointed out something because of when he was in the heavens. He said, he had some flashbacks. And the Lord told him that he wasn't going to be able to count on his gifts to have a happy day in the heavenlies, because it was going to be the attitude of his heart that was going to show up. And the attitude of his heart would also declare where he belongs. Yeah. Ouch. So, I remember years ago, this is 30 years or more, there was a wonderful conference that I went to. And the main speaker really hit us between the eyes, and he said, when you get to heaven, your gifts are going to fall. And if you haven't learned how to love and be loving in all circumstances, you're going to have a very difficult time. He also said you're going to be judged according to the gifts that you were given. If you never used them, there will be judgment involved. How many know you can stuff the Holy Spirit into a box and do your own stuff? And you can act on your own because you're too afraid to be judged or condemned. And the Lord says in his word, and even in the book of Revelations, those who are filled with all kinds of wrong spirits will not enter. But that does include those who bow to fear. Yeah. So sometimes you may be pressed to get a word from the Lord, and you're kind of afraid to give it out. And you're going to do it afraid.
Amen.
And when you do it afraid, it will honor the Lord. Because you're to resist the fear. You're supposed to stand your ground. Now, I said suppose. There was a season where I couldn't do it. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, I just can't do this. And he said, you will. You're not there yet, but you will. Down the road, you will. And he gave me the courage to pray for that prayer. God, I can't do this yet, but I know someday I will. I will be able to carry the ball the way I'm supposed to. Gabriella, on the way home, said there was something she would have liked to do, but she was embarrassed. So when she's embarrassed, she folds under. Now she's 7.5. Some of you are just as bad as 7.5. Now, you fold under if you're embarrassed. You're not going to let anybody know that you're embarrassed, but you're not going to act because God told you to do, because you're not quite comfortable yet. And I know I'm hurting you a little bit, but it's only because I believe the Lord wants the body of Christ to function as one smooth machine.
Amen.
I had a vision tonight. And I saw this huge machine, and of course I worked in factories, so I know what machines can be like, and they can be very long, very high, very hot, very whatever. And all the wheels and all the chains and so on, and I had this one person going around with an oil can, just oiling all the different wheels and different things that were keeping this thing functioning. You say, I wonder who that's for. It's none of your business. What it is important is that they were doing the work that they were designed by God to do. Verse 9. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare each one of us. And he's going to use all of those different offices at different levels, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. It doesn't say some will reach. Does your Bible say we all reach? So again, if you think you've got somebody that you're aware of that's kind of lagging behind and having a hard time, don't be afraid to intercede for them until they get rebuilt and built back up. Because they may be having a hard time. And hard times are, for some people, very difficult to go through because they feel alone. How many have ever had the problem that nobody cares? Thank you. If you believe that lie, it's time to get rid of it. Until we all, 13, reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I know you've heard this message many times before, because I kind of want to make sure that we don't forget how important this part is. Every vessel has a job to do before the Lord. And every vessel is different, so don't jump to conclusions as to what this one should be doing or that one should be doing. But I told you years ago, the Holy Spirit would use Pastor Gino, and he'd bounce on me and he'd say, when are you going to press in?
When are you going to push a little harder? Because he was seeing I was hesitating. I confess, it wasn't always easy. You know why? Because with maturity comes responsibility. And when that responsibility comes and you don't do it, somebody is going to go without. So what if you didn't give out that word of knowledge about the need tonight? What if you just decided, well, it must be me? See, your decision could affect someone else. You release the word, and the word will go out there, and it'll do what it was designed to do, Isaiah 55. And the word will not come back void. It will produce. It will produce. Close your eyes. Say, if God gives me a word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit will carry that word all the way to the person who needs it. And the word will not return void. It will produce the miracle that's needed. And if I never hear about it, it's okay. In Jesus' name, I pray. Than not to do it at all, right? Amen. Fourteen. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and being blown here and there by every kind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. That was happening in Ephesus. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you and I are doing our job, the growth factor will definitely increase in every single person. You say, well, I don't know if I've done my job right. You will by the fruit. Because you'll see the fear start to disintegrate and things will be changing. Because his plan is to have you make it to the finish line. He wants you to make it to the finish line. And you know, I know this is an old message, but I think it bears repeating because sometimes we catch on to something we didn't see before. Amen. And when we catch on, how important it is that every single person has an accountability before the Lord to carry that ball to the best of their ability. Now, that doesn't mean you might not drop the ball. And if you do, pick yourself back up and carry the ball. Carry it to the finish line. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
You agreed now.